Do you like it when people make fun at your expense? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with the thought for today. Do you like it when people make fun at your expense? Now you say, well, what illustrations are you going to use now to express that making fun at your expense? Well, I don't think I have to. You know what I'm talking about. So let's turn the story around that you make it a habit, I make it a habit, everyone in our world makes it a habit, to be an encouragement, to be a something that supports other people on their journey through life, something that is uplifting. It's like you say to a child, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, even while the child's not being wonderful. And you say, that's terrible, that's terrible, that's terrible, and of course then it just gets more terrible. Can you be so strong inside of yourself, can I be so strong inside of myself, that I look at everything and instead of seeing it the way it appears to be, see it the way I want it to be? Now, do we look at people and see them the way we want them to be? Or do we look at people and see them the way they appear to be? Now, even if they appear to be a millionaire, and you say, oh, they're a millionaire, that's not very nice of you. Because a millionaire, back in the 20s and 30s, that's a lot of money. But today, a millionaire, they have houses worth several million, and they're ordinary type houses. And $500,000 is not unusual for a normal type house that a normal person would buy. And so you have to change your way of looking at things. And it's not the matter so much of way of looking at things. Your way of looking at things is good, but your terminology is out of date. When you say you're a billionaire, and the thing is, that's the time to be a trillionaire. You're not making a big come. So you're independently wealthy. So now, what does independently wealthy mean? Now, that's not really what you want to be either. You don't want to be independently wealthy. You want to think a thought, and it's done. You want to have a dream, and it is fulfilled. You don't want to have to figure out how to bring that dream about, how to get the money to have that house that you've always wanted, that little house with the picket fence around it, you know. You know, that's a dream of a lot of people. And actually, a lot of people are going back to that dream. But they can't go back to that dream because of a certain word that's in our vocabulary. And this word is one of the ugliest words that you could ever have in your vocabulary, but I'll tell you it so that you can consider removing it or at least replacing it with something else. And the word is Jones. Keeping up with the Joneses. People are always trying to keep up with the Joneses. If you live in a cabin in the woods, and a cabin in the woods is natural to have in the woods, and you have a nice cabin, and you have an indoor pump for your well and for your plumbing and so forth, and you have an outhouse for an outhouse, or you have indoor plumbing to take the plumbing out and whatever. But I mean, it's simple. And you have maybe three or four bedrooms, or maybe just one big bedroom. I mean, when people go to bed at night, they go to sleep. And then you can have a honeymoon room. And if people are going to have a sexual encounter, then they can use the honeymoon room.
You know?
And if they're not going to have a sexual encounter, they just use the big room with everybody else. They're just sleeping like everybody else. And what's the big deal? You know? What's the big deal of having 10 people sleeping in a room?
That's true.
And they're all sleeping, you know? And if people want to have a honeymoon, they go and use the honeymoon room. And how many people are going to have the honeymoon room during the night, you know? Or my time is from 10 to 12, or whatever, you know. But all I'm saying is that we think we have to have such grand appointments for nothing. And what is one of your most memorable moments of your life? What is one of the most memorable moments of your life? It's when you walked out the door and you looked at the sun and the birds were singing and everything was beautiful. That's a memorable moment. Well, a memorable moment was when you went swimming and you went skinny dipping down into the creek and the water was just perfect. The temperature was just beautiful and you were skinny dipping down there. Maybe everybody was down there too. And it didn't make any difference to anybody. And you came out of the water and you just stood there and shook off and let the sun dry you and you're all set. But now, you see, what are the things that really make your life wonderful? Is it living up to the Joneses? If they get a new car, you got to get a new car but a little better model. If they get an addition to their house, you have to put two additions on your house. If they go beyond your means, you have to sell out and go somewhere else because you can't stand to live next door to someone who's upgraded you. See, we're all spending our time living for other people. So, if we could instead be so happy in our house. I lived in Wauwatosa, which is a lovely little community, and it was a wealthy community. And there were areas of it were not wealthy, but it was basically wealthy. And I lived at the junction of a street, at the T. Our house was right facing up the T. And our house had been the original farmhouse for the place when it was a big farm. And it was no big deal. It was just a pleasant house. And it was primitive. My father improved on it, but it was primitive. But of all the houses in the neighborhood, ours was, of course, the oldest, and ours was the, it was okay, you know. It had a certain pizzazz to it that made it special because it was an old house, and it was a lovely house, and we had a little larger piece of land with us than most of the neighbors had because it had belonged to the owner of the development, the farm that had been there. Well, our house was always a scene of sort of happy times. And we would go into the neighbors' houses, and they'd be hollering and shouting at each other, and they would be angry at each other, and they would be unhappy with each other. And the kids would be shouting and unhappy. And that was just natural. That was just natural. In some houses, the husband never came around. He was always out working or doing something. Or the wife was always off playing bridge, and the kids were home alone, just sort of fending for themselves. And our house was sort of like a little warm nugget. And Mother basically was always there. She was always there for us. And she always made our house warm, and she always said, no screaming, no hollering, no arguing in this house. This is a house of big smiles. But mostly she was successful. Oh, there were a few times when people acted up like they shouldn't, but she got after them, and we towed in the mark. That was the house. Mother determined that house was going to be a house of gentle love, and it was. And whenever anything really tough came up, there was no shouting and screaming. My dad just told my mother that she couldn't do certain things and she had to pay more attention to the house. And she says, if you don't do these things, I'm going to leave you, and then you can take care of the five children all by yourself. Well, now, he realized that she was doing a lot of things and he didn't even know about it. She was, you know, responsible, and he didn't even know about it. She was making the budget and handling the things. And she says, I need to have some help. And so we hired a maid. And so for many years we had a maid. And this was a young lady who came down from up in another part of Milwaukee on the bus and the streetcar to get to our house. And she was a nice young lady, just a very harmonious girl. She made all of us feel that she thought we were special. But she was just real good. And she came there and took care of things. After supper, she'd go home. And then in the morning, she'd come back again. And, I mean, that couldn't have been much life for her. But then again, it was a job when there were not many jobs around to be had. And we had a maid. And our house continued to be a house of warmth and love. And the neighbor kids would come in, and they would start acting up like they did at home. And my mother would say to them, "Now, where did you learn to do that? What did you learn to do what?" shouted your sister like that. "Well, Mom does it." "Well, I'm sure your mom wouldn't like you to do it, because that's not a nice thing to do. Now, you go home and you tell your mom, 'Mom, I'm not going to shout at my sister anymore because I love her.' And just see what your mom has to say. Don't go saying, 'Mom, ship up, shape out, you know, you got to change your role model for us or else we're not going to be good.' You just, you go there and be a role model yourself." And I know in a number of homes in our neighborhood that where there was pending divorces and pending all sorts of negative things, they changed because of the way Mom handled them and taught them to, like she taught her own children, taught them to be loving, taught them to be gentle, taught them to be not forgiving, but not to be angry in the first place, not to be judging in the first place. You see, what is it that you're going to remember about where you live? Are you going to remember the work that you do? Are you going to remember the busyness of your house, the busyness of your kitchen, the plumbing that doesn't work or something like that? Or are you going to be looking at the things that do work and that function so beautifully? You know, I've often said to Ellen, "Ellen, you can hire a plumber to come here and do something because it is difficult. And it's a faucet that doesn't want to operate perfectly. And the faucet is tough. But now, if you would take the entire faucet out and put a new faucet in, it'd be cheaper and nicer. You would have the new faucet that you want." Yeah. Now, to take a faucet off and to put it on is easy. To try to fix the faucet, to get in there and find the washers and find this screw that's missing and those things that are, it's a tedious, thankless job. Mm-hmm. And it's one that does not get done. I was thinking, we have about 6 boxes of brand new faucets that I bought for the monastery when we were remodeling it, but we changed the type of faucets we wanted. But they're brand new, beautiful faucets. Now, we could put them all over in the oasis where they need faucets. And then I thought, no. Oh, we could put them into the Shangri-La where it could use faucets. And I thought, no. And every place else, the faucets are fine. Ellen's house, the embassy has new faucets, and the Citadel, the faucets are just fine, and everything else is just fine. So now, we hang on to those faucets. And when the time comes that we want to remodel, we may put new faucets in, or we may put newer faucets based upon what faucets are available on the day that they're available. Because as all things are changing, new faucets in 6 months from now in the oasis might be available a whole new system of faucetry that gives us a better control of the water, makes the water smoother and quicker and does everything. And we could put the old faucets, which were brand new that we never used, in, but they would be outgraded from what the new ones would be. Now, would it be more important for us to put in brand new faucets in 8 months, or would it be important for us to take our old brand new faucets and put them in? Now, you see, you have to stop and think. Now, are you thinking, "Well, we spent the money"? And if you're thinking we spent the money, then I'm going to take everything and throw it in the trash. Because if I take everything and throw it in the trash, then there'll be no judgment. There'll be no way of saying, "Well, we could use that, and we could have used that, and this could have been there, and that could have been there." Because the minute you start doing that, then you start being a pauper. then you start being afraid of money and afraid of expenses. Now, one new faucet now, one new faucet then, whatever you might want to do, is a whole lot less expensive than having a plumber come over here and paying their magnificent fees, and then also having them put in the faucet that they want to put in. Now, we had a light fixture put in the Swimex, and this electrician came here and said he's putting in the light fixture. And he went into town without our permission and bought a light fixture and brought it up here and installed it. Well, it's totally improper for where it is. It's two little bulbs that would be hanging out like over a bathroom sink, you know. Well, here we have this large Swimex room, you know, and that little light should have been something more charming for just the area that it was going to try to service. But it wasn't. And it was brought out and it was put in. And it was put in, it had to be put in specially because special wires had to be run up for it and other things, because it wasn't just a single up control. And you see, sometimes when we take what we can get, when we hire people that we don't know their credentials, we get things that do not satisfy us. Well, now, what does a wealthy person do? Now, I mean really a wealthy person. A really wealthy person looks around at the type of thing that pleases him. And he says, I like that faucet. I think that's a great faucet. And a big deal, you know. But no, he doesn't have faucets in his house that he doesn't like. He has faucets in his house that he likes. Now, I have gone to Home Depot, and I have seen these glass sinks that sit on top of the counter, you know, like a bowl. And I thought, who would ever put that in their house? And then I looked at the digital house here, the digital magazine with Popular Science, and the house that they have shows the bathroom with one of those sinks in it. And it looks very proper and very nice. And I thought, hey, that's really pretty neat. And you know one of the wonderful things about that? You don't have to mop up the water around it and stuff. The thing is, the water can't seep down into any place because you have perfect seals on it. It's a very charming idea. It's something to think about. And who knows what comes next? Who knows? Wonderful miracles next take place time. In our life. What's that?
Next comes the appointment.
Oh, yes. So, think about this. Can you find where your real values are? Can you find where your real money is? Can you find where things that really turn you on? Is it the beautiful trees, or is it the bank account that you have? And if it's the bank account you have, just remember, just like the beautiful trees, the bank account's always changing. It's always being varied. And so with the trees, they're always being variable. Now, what do you want to do?
Always clean.
You want to have it be beautiful at all times and love it at all times, just the way it is.
Blooming.
So, I think we've come to a conclusion here. Have a lovely day and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.
Thank you.